Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really pulling back the curtain on something kind of fundamental, something that powers pretty much everything, operations management.
Right, the invisible engine, as you called it before we started.
Exactly. Think about it, that coffee you might be drinking right now, or, you know, complex tech, even how smoothly, hopefully, things run in a hospital. That's all operations management working behind the scenes. So our mission today isn't just to, like, define it. We want to unpack its strategic importance, see how far it reaches, maybe uncover some aha moments about how stuff actually gets made and delivered. We've got some great source material to draw on.
And it's so important to grasp this because it really is the difference between, well, success and failure for organizations. It's not just what they do, but the nitty-gritty how and why of it. That's what makes or breaks things. It's key to effectiveness.
Okay, let's jump in. So the basics, our sources say operations management is about getting goods and services produced and delivered, planning, organizing, controlling resources. But it feels like more than just ticking boxes for efficiency, right? What's the real core transformation happening here? Why does it matter so much?
Well, the core idea, I think, is creation. It's taking those basic inputs, you know, land, labor, capital, the whole enterprise idea, and actually transforming them, turning them into something more valuable, the goods, the services we all use. And that transformation, it's vital for boosting efficiency, yeah, but also cutting waste and critically making sure the customer is happy. It's where potential becomes reality.
And I love this point. It's not just for factories, right? People sometimes think, oh, I mean, well, it's manufacturing.
Oh, absolutely not. That's a huge misconception. It's everywhere. Agriculture, construction, services, think banking, healthcare, education even, like software development. It's truly universal. The same core principles apply, just in different ways.
Okay, cool. So let's get a bit more specific. Our sources talk about this really useful framework, the five M's. Sounds like the building blocks.
Exactly. The five M's are like the strategic levers you pull in operations. Each M represents a crucial input, but also a whole area of decision making. They shape everything, cost, quality, delivery. It's a really neat way to see the whole picture of production.
Right, let's tackle them. First M, materials. So raw materials, components. What's the big pitfall here? Where do companies mess up?
That's a great question. The biggest trap, I think, is often poor planning around suppliers, maybe relying too much on one source or not vetting quality properly. Because if your materials are late or poor quality or cost too much, boom, production stops, costs go up, quality dips, customers get annoyed. It's a chain reaction. Think about a furniture maker needing good wood. If that supply dries up or the quality drops, their whole brand is suddenly at risk. It's more than just an inconvenience. It can be a real crisis.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay, materials need people. So M number two, manpower. Is this just about headcount? Just having enough staff?
Definitely not just headcount. It's about having the right people with the right skills in the right roles. And crucially, keeping them motivated. Operations and HR have to work super closely on this. Recruiting, training, development, it all feeds into productivity and quality. Like in a hospital, you need those highly trained doctors and nurses. It's not just logistics. Their skill is the service quality. You can have fancy machines, but without the right people, pointless.
Right. And you can't pay people or buy materials without M number three, money, the financial side. What's the main challenge here for operations?
The big challenge with money is making those smart capital investment decisions. Where do you put the big bucks? New machinery, bigger facilities, training, just keeping the lights on day to day with working capital. Our sources mention factories moving to automation that needs huge upfront investment. So you need solid financial planning, access to funds. Without it, those big efficiency gains just don't happen. You get stuck.
Which flows perfectly into M number four. Machines, the actual tools, equipment, tech. How do managers juggle the benefits of new tech versus, you know, the upkeep and potential for breakdowns?
That's the constant balancing act, isn't it? Machines drive so much efficiency now. Automation, digital systems, they boost accuracy, cut waste, huge benefits. But yeah, they need maintaining. They break down. Think about self-checkouts in the supermarket. Great for labor costs until they glitch, right? Then you've got queues and unhappy shoppers. So managers are always weighing that initial cost and efficiency boost against ongoing maintenance, potential downtime, reliability. It's tricky.
Okay, last M methods. The actual processes, the techniques, the how-tos. What's really powerful about getting the methods right?
Methods are fascinating because the right ones can just revolutionize things. Mm-hmm. Like Toyota and lean production. That wasn't just about saving money. It was a whole new way of thinking. focusing relentlessly on value for the customer, eliminating any activity that didn't add value, waste elimination. It created this incredible efficiency, yes, but also flexibility, higher quality. It changed manufacturing. So good methods aren't just faster, they're fundamentally smarter.
Right, so putting it all together, these 5 M's, these operational choices, they don't just stay within the operations department, do they? They must send ripples everywhere else in the business.
Absolutely. And that integration piece is key. How do decisions about, say, machines or methods impact marketing or HR or finance? Understanding those connections is vital to seeing how a business really functions.
Let's explore that, starting with marketing. How does the way you make something affect how you sell it?
Oh, massively. Think about a luxury watchmaker. Their whole marketing story is built on craftsmanship, exclusivity, maybe hand assembly. That's an operational choice directly feeding the brand image and price point. Contrast that with, say, a mass market smartphone. Here, the operations focus on efficiency, standardization, volume. That allows for competitive pricing and broad appeal. Marketing highlights different things. So yeah, product quality, how fast you deliver, how reliable your supply is, those are all operational realities that become key marketing messages. Apple's success is a perfect example. Their marketing leans heavily on the consistent quality coming out of their operations.
Okay, that makes sense. What about human resource management, HRM? How do operational strategies shape the workforce?
Directly. If your operation is very labor-intensive, like maybe hospitality or some types of agriculture, you need a lot of people, perhaps with specific service or manual skills.
Right.
HR focuses on recruiting and managing that large workforce. But if it's capital-intensive, lots of automation, like a modern car plant, you might need fewer people, but they'll need highly specialized technical skills. So HR's focus shifts entirely. Training, development, maybe different motivation strategies. And HR gets pulled into operational continuity too. Think about strikes or, I don't know, a major equipment failure. Suddenly, HR is dealing with staffing gaps, reassignments, maybe crisis comms. It's deeply linked.
And inevitably, finance. Operations decisions sound like they can cost a lot of money.
They often do, especially the big strategic ones. Investing in new technology, building a new factory, rolling out a whole new process that requires serious capital. That's why finance gets involved with things like investment appraisal, using tools like net present value or ARR to figure out if these big bets are likely to pay off long term. They also need to ensure there are contingency funds because things do go wrong. Supply chains break, machines fail, you need a buffer. And even in less capital heavy businesses, like maybe a restaurant chain, the labor bill driven by operational staffing needs is a huge chunk of the costs, directly hitting pricing and profit margins. Finance and ops are constantly talking.
It's really striking how universal this is. It's not just manufacturing. Operations management is everywhere, in every part of the economy.
It really is. And what's cool is seeing how those core ideas, efficiency, transformation, value creation, get applied in such different settings, from farming to finance.
Let's quickly walk through the sectors. First, the primary sector extraction, agriculture.
Right. Mining, fishing, farming, forestry. Here, the operational focus is often on sustainability, efficient use of natural resources, and minimizing environmental impact. Safety is also huge. Think of a mining company. They're balancing how much they can extract efficiently against environmental rules and keeping their workers safe. It's a tough operational challenge.
Then the secondary sector, making things.
Manufacturing, construction, transforming raw materials. This is where you see a lot of focus on mass production, quality control, lean methods, managing complex supply chains. The car industry, using just-in-time delivery, is a classic secondary sector example. Minimizing inventory, maximizing flow.
Okay. Tertiary sector services. This feels different.
It is, but the OM principles still apply. Transport, retail, banking, healthcare, education. Here, operations are geared towards service quality, customer experience, efficiency of delivery. Think about fast food chains. Their consistency worldwide is down to incredibly standardized operations. Or airlines managing flight schedules and passenger flows. It's all operations.
And the newer one, the quaternary sector, knowledge work.
Yeah, IT, R&D, consulting, higher education. The product here is often intangible information, ideas, solutions. So operations management focuses on things like managing innovation processes, handling data securely and effectively, optimizing project workflows, enabling collaboration among knowledge workers. Think of a software company managing development sprints and releases. That's their operations.
So beyond getting things done efficiently, there's this growing emphasis on the ethical dimension of operations. Doing good while doing well.
Exactly. And it's not just a nice to have anymore. Companies are realizing that how they operate reflects their core values, and stakeholders, customers, employees, investors are paying close attention. It really asks the question, how do we embed responsibility into the very fabric of how we produce goods and deliver services?
Let's touch on a few key areas, diversity and inclusion. Why is that an operational issue?
Because operational policies and practices directly impact fairness and opportunity. Who gets hired for operational roles? How are teams structured?
Mm-hmm.
Are promotion paths equitable? It's about building fairness into the system. And the benefits are tangible, better decision-making from diverse teams, stronger employee engagement, enhanced brand image. Companies like DuPont, as mentioned in the sources, are actively communicating this because it's part of their operational identity now. It's good business.
And sustainability, obviously huge. How does that play out day-to-day in operations?
It's woven into so many operational choices. Reducing energy consumption in factories, minimizing packaging waste, designing products for recyclability, choosing suppliers based on their environmental practices. It's about looking at the entire life cycle, from sourcing raw materials responsibly to managing end-of-life disposal, and it connects to bigger issues like climate change and resource depletion. Operations is where the environmental footprint is often largest.
Which links to global responsibility. With supply chains stretching across the world, the ethical scrutiny must be intense.
It is. Globalization means your operations might involve partners halfway around the world. So you're responsible not just for your own factories, but for the working conditions in your suppliers' factories, too. Ethical sourcing, ensuring fair wages, guaranteeing safe workplaces, respecting human rights. These are now fundamental expectations for global operations management. You can't just look the other way anymore. The reputational risk is enormous, let alone the moral imperative.
Wow. Okay, so we've really covered a lot of ground. From the core definition and the five M's, we've seen how operations management is this central nervous system. It shapes everything, integrates with marketing, HR, finance, touches every economic sector, and increasingly has to grapple with these critical ethical dimensions like diversity and sustainability. It really is the invisible engine.
Absolutely. Effective operations management isn't just tactical. It's deeply strategic and fundamentally ethical. It's about building businesses that are efficient, yes, but also resilient, responsible, and ultimately sustainable in the long run. And it's always evolving.
So here's something to think about next time you buy something, use a service, anything really. Try to imagine the hidden operational gears turning behind the scenes. What complex decisions, what trade-offs, what processes made that possible? And maybe what can make it even better? Lots to ponder there. That's it for this deep dive.